Tuesday, Wednesday, and we were singing that song in the chapel there, and it was just so awesome. Like, we had such a, there was 12 of us, and we had such a sense of unity there, and I was just bawling and praising God and just lifting up his name, and my eyes were all watering, and I just kind of opened my eyes a little bit, and they had these skylights up on the top, these little triangular skylights in the chapel. It's a small little building, but has this big stone altar in the front, eh? And I see the sunlight is shining in there, but to me it looked like fire. It looked like God was just, his presence was just like fire in there. It was just awesome. Yeah, it was a great, we really had a great time down there. And it was just, yeah, like I said, just such a spirit of unity. And, you know, Chad shared a little bit about us being reconcilers. What was it? Restorers, yeah. Restoration and messengers of reconciliation. And it was really good, really good. Crystal shared about Hosea chapter 11. And it comes after two really... Have you ever read the book of Hosea? It's the first thing he's going to ask you when you get to heaven. Did you read my book? It's a crazy, crazy book. And chapters 9 and 10 are really not very good at all. You know, God's going to really discipline Israel for their idolatry. And then you have chapter 11 when he says, you know, I'm going to lead you, like, I'm not going to forget about you, Israel. I'm going to lead you with cords of human kindness. And I was reading that this morning, and I just thought it was an allusion to when, you know, in 500 BC, when God took Israel into captivity and used the Assyrians, and they put rings in their noses and drug them all off and killed and raped and pillaged the whole place because they refused to come back to God. So God says, fine, then worship them. And he drug them all away. And that's just an allusion to him. No, I'm going to lead you with cords of loving kindness. You know, he just wants us to repent and return to him. Anyhow, yeah. Yeah, it was a great time, and I probably could say some things about the new building, but maybe I'll leave that up to Stan. But there's some cool things happening. God is opening up effective doors for the building over here. Eh? We should take possession tomorrow, and it's pretty exciting. Yeah, it's very exciting. Yeah. God's really doing amazing things there too, but. Let me just give you a definition of exalted. Rum, R-U-M in the Hebrew. It's out of Psalm 18:46. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Strong 7:3:1:1. To elevate, raise, lift, bring up, exalt, lift up, hold up, extol, to make high and powerful. Wow. Since God is in the highest, and he's the most high, Elyon, he cannot be higher than he is already. However, he can be raised and exalted in our understanding of him. And it's so good just during worship if we just take our eyes off ourselves and put them on God, you know, and just see how holy he is and how exalted he is. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, but his mercy is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. He's such a good God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, exalted. Exalt him. It's good to exalt him. Anyhow, that's about all I'm going to ramble on for. Oh, no, there's a men's retreat coming up the first weekend in November. See Elvin for details for that. And Elvin wants to say a few words, too, before Stan comes up. Thanks.
Yeah, just wanted to share about this. But I just want to say about the men's prayer retreat. All men are welcome. And we're going out to Salem Acres at the beginning of November, Friday night, Saturday, and then Sunday. And the cost is going to be about $120. So you're all welcome. And we have an awesome time. There's a gelling. There's a coming together as men. Amen. For the work of God. Amen. So, and just to say, reaffirm what he said about the prayer retreat, man alive, totally, totally awesome. Praise God. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you so much for your prayers. And I just sensed, man, you know, just working on the same team, playing the same, you know, and just together. Wow, it was such a knitting together for me anyway, and I believe for everyone, I tell you. And it gets us focused on what Potter's hands, where it's going. Amen? And there's some big things coming up here, so I just encourage you guys just to continue to pray, get involved with what Potter's hands is doing in the city. Amen? And just to let you know, too, just in case, I don't know if Pastor Stan was going to mention this, but we have a worship service tomorrow night at the Cowboys Club. And instead of worshiping the devil, we're going to worship the King of Kings. Amen? The living God, the true and the living God, Jesus Christ. Amen. So tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, all you worship guys, you want a war, come on, let's go in there and dispel all the works of darkness. Amen? Get those things kicked out of there so the Spirit of God can just move freely in that place. It's kind of short notice for you guys, but it is what it is. Our sister Pat Hamill, some of you know her. She runs the Lift Up Red Deer. But anyway, she wants to get petitions signed for euthanasia. I don't know about you guys, if you know anything about the political scene out there in Ottawa, but they've endorsed this euthanasia. So we get to a place in our life, you know, eventually, I wish I could say that it would just stop there, but the way the world is going, it's not. They want to do more, okay? So this is just the tip of the iceberg. But if we sign this petition, hopefully we can reverse the work of that. There's one testimony out there, assisted suicide. It's called assisted suicide. There's one doctor out there that went ahead with this and euthanized one person. And that night he had mega nightmares. And he says, that's it. I ain't never doing that again. Doctors are there to preserve life, not to take it. Amen? And so, but anyway, I've got all these petitions here, but the big problem is I need them back today because I got to bring them into Pat tomorrow, and then she's going to send them off to Ottawa. And so I'm going to give you, if someone can give me a hand, someone on this side, can you do that? And just sign them up, look at them, and if you have something to say about it, you know, but sign your name, whatever the request is there, and hopefully she's going to be sending these into Ottawa, and hopefully we have 1,000, well over 1,000, you know. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you. Just maybe one more thing. I want to take up some time here so they can pass the paper on. We had supper with my brother last night. My oldest brother came into the city. He works for Mullins Trucking, and he's a trucker, and he's 69 years old. He was over in Iraq when they first invaded Iraq over there, and he worked for Halliburton. And this man was shot at by the Iraqis or whoever, the ISIS, whoever these people are, and he had 4 bullets come into the cab. He says the one bullet came in. They have a blanket, bulletproof blanket that they hang on the door, okay? And so the one bullet came in about 10 inches from his head, back of his head, and the glass cut his face. But he had one bullet come in through the underside of the cab, right where his foot was, his brake. And he says there was nothing happened to his foot. We were here in Red Deer, Alberta. We were praying for my brother, and God heard the cry of our hearts. You know, our prayers here in Red Deer affect people around the world. Amen? So I tell you, I greatly encourage you, don't stop praying. Keep on praying. Pray for your loved ones, your friends. Let's just pray. Amen? In Jesus' name. Thank you.
Yeah, I just forgot a couple things. I was at a funeral yesterday, Darwin Brown at Liberty Church, and it was just a terrible thing to say maybe, but it was a beautiful funeral. The man's life was a testimony to the love of Jesus, and the place was, you couldn't get another person in there. It was awesome. And Don's brother, Alf, passed away this morning too, his older brother. I just wanted to mention that. Anyhow, yeah, let's pray. Father, it's so good to lean on your name and depend on your name and trust your name and exalt your name and lift up your name. You're the Most High God, El Elyon, and you're our God. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray that you'd be with my brother Stan and just give him words to say, truth and life. and open our ears to what the Spirit says to the churches this morning. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Thanks. Amen. A lot of announcements this morning, but I think there was one more about the Sunday school, right? There's a meeting for Sunday school teachers.
At 5:30. So if anybody's interested in being part of the Sunday school team, you're welcome to come and join us. We're going to be talking about a new curriculum because we need to get some new curriculum, and we're just finishing up the Sunday school room because it's been changed, and we're excited about that. So if you want to come, there's going to be pizza. It's at 5:30, right?
Well, now they're all coming.
I know. 5:30, we're just going to have a quick pizza supper together, and then we're going to chat, and it's going to be just a short meeting. So you're welcome to come.
Amen. Thanks. Just a couple of little things, too. I did talk to Jerry this morning, and I offered our condolences, told him we'd be praying for him. But, you know, we know that Gladys loved Jesus. We know that she had such a heart for him, and she was involved in ministry and, you know, prayed for people many, many times. So we know that she's also with the Lord, and there's great hope. So we stand on that today. Amen? And then we can say a little bit more about the service tomorrow night. It's not really a service. It's just going to be a time of warfare and a time of praise. I think it was Brother Tim here who talked about it. They were asking about, so when are we going to start the demolition? And I said, well, it'll be Tuesday because we get possession on Monday, and we're going to get, you know, be able to start doing some demolition on Tuesday. And then I think it was Tim who said, you know, before we do anything like that, before we raise the first hammer, before we pull one board off, we need to get in there and just worship and praise, and we need to break down the strongholds. We need to anoint the doorways. And maybe that sounds weird to you, but it isn't weird. There's a lot of darkness that's in that place. There's been a lot of ungodliness that's happened there. It was a bar in this city for, I don't even know how many years, 30, 40 years. And we are going to be turning this into a thrift store, and it's going to be an opportunity for great ministry and to involve a bunch of people into our community. And we believe this is part of what God's been saying to many of us, that we're entering into a time of harvest. We're entering a time of his bounty and of his blessing. So I invite you to come, and to be honest with you, I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow or how we're going to do it. We're just going to get together and sing and worship and pray, and we'll let the Spirit lead. Yeah. The other thing is, and this is just going to prove to you, I'll tell you this story. You guys know that Sears closed down, and this is going to show you that if you ever wonder whether I know what I'm doing, this will probably affirm that I don't. But I went in there about a month ago because I know that we needed a bunch of shelves, and what a, you know, great opportunity because they're selling all their stuff, all their fixtures and stuff are being sold. And so we picked up a bunch of stuff there that we're going to be able to use. It's awesome. Great. They're closing out sales. It was a great opportunity for us. But anyways, the guy who was part of this, he said to me when I was asking him about what's for sale, I said, well, we also need clothes hangers. Because I know from other thrift stores that's one of the things there's always a shortage of is clothes hangers. So I was talking to this guy, and I said, so we need clothes hangers. He said, well, how many do you need? And I mean, I don't know the answer to that question because I've never done this before. So I had no idea how to answer it. I just said, just lots, I guess. And he said, and he took me off guard, but he said, well, I'll tell you what. If you take every clothes hanger in the building, it is 90,000 square feet, this building. If you take every clothes hanger in the building, I'll charge you $1,000. And I didn't know what to say, so I just said sold. Anyway, so in my opinion, I was thinking, okay, so somewhere down the road, you know, near the end of September, I'm going to have to get a couple pickup trucks, and, you know, there'll be some boxes, and we'll have, you know, a few thousand coat hangers. Thank you. Well, I went in there yesterday, and right now, up till today, there are, you know those boxes that they put washing machines and dryers in? There's 27 of those boxes so far. So, yeah. So if anybody wants clothes hangers, they're $1 a piece. And I just thought, you know, I don't know what we're going to do. So logistically, there's a lot going on in the next few days. I got to find we're renting a truck. We're going to have to put this stuff somewhere. We're trying to find places for it. I never dreamed. Honestly, there's like, I can't even tell you how much space that takes, but we believe it's going to be a blessing, and we've gotten to know this guy. He's going to donate some clothing that's left over. that they didn't get to sell. So there's a lot of things that are kind of working out. The other thing is I went in there then yesterday after the breakfast. Crystal and I went in there, and we had already bought a bunch of shelves and stuff. And just to make a long story short, there's a whole bunch of some leftover stuff, long, long shelves, two that are 24-foot long shelves and a couple of shorter ones. And he just about gave them away to us. Like, I think we paid $450 for a whole bunch of more shelves. The problem with that is we're just going to need some help to take them apart. So if there's anyone who's got some time tomorrow, would you just meet me after the service in this little room? We're looking for four or five or six people who can just help to pack these things up and put them on pallets so that we can move them efficiently. Okay? That's enough announcements. Man, it seems like that's been a lot. Let's pray. God, you are so good, and we thank you that we have a great hope. Those of us who are in Christ, we have great hope. And I thank you, God, that you continue to show us that you lead us as potter's hands, that you are the potter and we're the clay, and that we just follow you in faith, knowing that where you bring us to, you will continue to be faithful, and you will show us everything that we need, and you'll provide. You do not bring us halfway across and then leave us there. You're going to bring us to the land that you want us to be in. And so we thank you for that. We take possession. We take possession of all that you want to give us. And all that the enemy has destroyed and taken from us, we reclaim. And even more, we extend, ask you, God, to extend the tent pegs of our ministry, your ministry, for one reason alone, that more people will come to know that Jesus Christ is Lord and that your name, Jesus, would be glorified. Thank you, God. So we just pray that we will come together, just as our leadership team comes together and we enjoy great unity and we're great friends, that as a church we'll come together and that we'll have arms that are open to other people as they come in, that we'll welcome them and we'll arm in arm form the army that you want us to be. You are the potter, we're the clay. And we don't tell you, we don't assume or presume what you want. You know what you want with us. We are your people, and we surrender to you. Thank you, God. Lead on, God. And we just pray that tomorrow when we get together and worship, that there will be a time there where every evil spirit, every demonic force, every power of darkness will be driven from that place. And that when we begin this renovation, there will be no injuries. There will be no one who gets hurt, and that this will go well and smoothly. That we will have favor with the city and with the community of Red Deer, and that we will see that this is not a dream of man, it's a dream of God. And that you are providing this, God, so that we can begin an even greater harvest for you and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to just briefly read from Luke chapter 3. A couple of weeks ago, we were in the river. Some of you remember that, and we saw about 10 people get baptized. And I've been thinking about that. That was such a great morning, and it brings me back to John the Baptist and this story about John the Baptist, and also about the teaching that I've been trying to share with you over the last while about repentance. So I guess I'm still on that the same kind of wavelength, but just thinking about going to the river and seeing, you know, Will and Michael and Jay and a whole bunch of others, you know, go down and get baptized. And a little while earlier, I think it was about a month earlier, Carter was baptized here. And that it's such a powerful symbol of our cleansing in the blood of Jesus Christ. So here's a story of how this happened back in the day when John the Baptist was baptizing people. We're going to start with verse 7, Luke chapter 3, verse 7, where John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." What should we do then? That's a very important question. What should we do then? The crowd asked. And John answered, "Well, the man who has two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same." And tax collectors also came to be baptized. "Teacher," they said, "what should we do?" Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. And then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? And he replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. And the people were waiting expectantly, and they were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We're going to just stop there. You say amen? He will baptize, right? We have a baptism of water, and that's an amazing, wonderful thing. We've enjoyed that. We've seen it. Most of us here have been baptized. If you haven't been baptized, I encourage you to start your life in Christ in that way. You can ask. We'll go again. There's no ice yet. So you want to get baptized, we'll find a way, right? But John made it clear that he's not the Christ, right? And that when Christ came, or when Christ was to come, he's going to baptize you with a far better kind of a baptism of fire, a baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. The question that was facing the crowd who were coming to see John baptize all these people was a question of whether this baptism was really authentic or not. And John speaks to the authenticity of the baptism by talking about the fruit of repentance. I want to teach on that this morning, on what the fruit of repentance is. Because even though it's true, the things that we've been talking and learning about over the last little while, that repentance really doesn't start with sorrow. It really isn't that we feel bad or feel worse and worse, but that repentance is a change of our lives, and it's a direction that we choose to head in. There still is genuine repentance, and there is repentance not genuine. There are people who repent for just a little bit, or they think they're repenting, or they just want something different happening in their lives, but they don't really completely surrender to Jesus Christ. And the fruit of that becomes evident. I mean, I don't think that that's a surprise. I think that maybe some of us, you know, have done that in our own lives. Sometimes it takes a few times before you go, you know, this hasn't been authentic, hasn't been genuine. I haven't been really serious about this. I just wanted some magic formula. I just wanted things to change, but I didn't want to do anything about it. I didn't really want to change the direction of my life. I kind of liked the direction my life was going in. And for some of us, it takes us a few times before we finally get to the point where we go, I'm tired of going this direction. I'm not doing it anymore, and now I'm going to follow Jesus. And that's what repentance is. That's what repentance is. But what John makes really clear is that if there's true repentance, there will necessarily be true fruit. There will be fruit. There will be things that come out of our lives because now I'm following Jesus. It will not be missed. It's not that there might be fruit, or if you're lucky, there'll be fruit. We know we don't believe in luck, but, you know, it's not that at all. The reality of what the Word of God teaches us is if we have a genuine turn of heart, I've changed my mind. Sonny, how about if we do the rest of that later? Is that okay? You don't mind? Thank you. So if we've really changed our mind, there will be fruit that follows that. There will be. It will naturally flow from a life that is repentant and from a heart that says, I'm going the Jesus direction now. And that's not, I mean, even Paul, and I think it's in Acts chapter 26, he says, it's kind of a little bit disconcerting when he says this, but he says, prove your repentance by your good deeds. Yeah. But what he doesn't mean there, I'm not going to be able to talk about this too much. He's not talking about works righteousness. He's not saying you got to do a lot of good things, you got to do a lot of good deeds, you got to prove yourself by being a good girl, and then you'll be forgiven. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is just the opposite, it's not a prerequisite. Doing good things is not a prerequisite. It is a result. That there is you're a tree. Once you become a believer in Christ, once you've given your heart to Jesus, you're like a vine, and you are going to bear fruit. You are going to bear fruit. You are going to bear fruit. And that's important, because I've run into lots of people that have that, you know, they go, well, I don't think my life is bearing any fruit. You're wrong. Your life is bearing fruit. Your life is in the hands of your Creator. And the fruit you bear might be different than the fruit Pam bears or the fruit that Crystal bears. But you will bear fruit in your life. You necessarily have to bear that fruit. And as a matter of fact, I think if we read this passage carefully, it really is saying that everybody bears fruit, actually. It's just some bear good fruit and some don't bear good fruit. Some bear good and some bear a bad. Everyone bears fruit. Your life is going to bear fruit. Now, what happens in this story, and I think this is important, that's why I'm kind of belaboring it a little bit, is that the crowd has a common question. What now must we do? That's a good question. I think whenever we come to God and we ask that question, it's the right question. Okay, God, what do we do? All this fruit-bearing stuff, what do I do? How do I live my life? And again, I'm just going to say this one more time because I want to make sure that you're not misunderstanding me today. We're not talking here today. If you think I'm saying you've got to be good to get God happy or you've got to do these things to be forgiven, that is not what we're saying. It is not works righteousness. You are righteous because God says you are righteous because of faith, because of faith. It is not because you do good things that God says, okay, guess what? Because you've done all those good things and you tithed and you went to church, Sherry, you went to the Bible study, I'm going to let you into heaven. That's not what God does. You are saved by faith through the grace of God. Okay, I've said that. You guys get that? All right. So we get the story where John the Baptist responds to the question, well, what do we got to do? How does our life bear fruit? What do we do then? And there's three different groups in this story in Luke chapter 3 who come to Jesus and ask that question. And Jesus says, first of all, he says, well, to those of you who have two coats, and you know someone who's in need, give them one of your coats. You want to know what the fruit of repentance looks like? It looks like generosity. It looks like kindness. It looks like mercy. And he goes on, he says, and if you've got extra food, we'll give the food to someone who needs it too. This is one of the ways that we can see the fruit of repentance. Are you following me? Right? Give someone your coat. Don saw me wearing this today, and I don't always wear a suit coat. I think I've worn one 3 times. And obviously, I was at Sears yesterday. I already told you that. I already told you that I was there. And Don looked at me, and he says, wow. He says, even an old barn looks good with a new coat of paint. You did say that. But the reality is, what John's teaching and what Luke is through the Gospels, I've got to be willing to give it away. You know? I've got to be willing to share my food. I've got to be willing to be generous. I've got to be willing. It's not your size, so don't worry about it. Right? It's not hoarding everything I have for me. What I have been given by God has been given to me so that it can flow through me to others. Amen. That's really true. And, I mean, yesterday I watched David Main's funeral. I don't know if anyone saw that. And from 100 Huntley Street. And I'm not going to say a whole lot about it, but the whole thing was about his love for others. He was known. You know, and you maybe saw him on 100 Huntley Street, and he just recently died. But his heart was for other people. He was generous. He gave of his life, really. His whole life was so that more people would come into the kingdom. That's just a good example. It inspired me. I had tears in my eyes, and I thought, wow, I got to do this better. And you know what? That's okay. You can think that sometimes. Not out of shame and not out of guilt, but sometimes in a right way, we live under the conviction of the Holy Spirit where we look at ourselves, we do some self-examination, we go, you know, that's a challenge for me. I want to love better. I want to be more patient with people who I'm not always patient with. And that was the first example is the guy who had the two coats. So if you got two coats, don't be afraid to give one of them away. Be generous. Be open-hearted. Don't hold on to the things that you own too tightly, but be open-handed. Deuteronomy talks about that. Be open-handed in how you give things away. The second group of people were the tax collectors, and like you know, the tax collectors weren't very popular. No one liked the tax collectors. You remember Zacchaeus. And no one likes Zacchaeus because he was dishonest. He took a whole bunch of the money that, you know, if you were charged $80 for taxes this year, he'd charge you $96. And he'd keep 16 to himself. And that was a typical way that the tax collectors did their jobs and how they lived their lives. And so the tax collectors came to John, and they said to John, John, well, what must we do? And John said, well, here's what you must do. Don't take more than you need to. In other words, be honest. And that's another fruit of repentance, I believe. Be honest. Have integrity. Don't just be greedy and live only for me or how I might benefit, right? We know from Zacchaeus that when he was saved, when he converted to Christ, when he surrendered to Jesus, and Jesus came to his house to eat, that he gave four times back what was stolen, and he uses the word stolen. So don't steal. Maybe this is real basic Christianity. You know, you learned this back when you're 4 years old. Don't steal. But if there's really true repentance in our lives, if I'm really following the direction of Jesus now, then that dishonest gain, that way that I get something and it hurts someone else or it's at someone else's expense, that is not the way of true repentance, and it's not the fruit that should flow from when our hearts really are repenting towards Jesus. Now maybe you say, and you'd be right, yeah, but I'm not a tax collector. I'm not a tax collector, so this one I don't need to worry about. But I think that if we think about this, there are times in our lives when we can hold something over on someone else, and we can almost keep them hostage. When we can gain because we're put in a place where we have them at our mercy. Someone bumps into you, bumps into your bumper, a little scratch, you know, in the mall parking lot, and you got a choice to make at that point. Do you get a whole new bumper and a fender that was already dented, or do you treat this person with mercy and kindness and with grace? Or here's another example. Sometimes, and there are some of you here who this applies to, and maybe all of us, but we can sometimes be like a tax collector with the people in our lives who owe us because they've wronged us. This is a touchy subject. But, you know, most of us have somebody in our lives who's wronged us. Someone who's messed around with us. Someone who's been dishonest. Someone who owes us. You owe me because you didn't do what you said you're going to do. And I'm not going to forgive you until you do this and this. We can literally hold people hostage sometimes because we won't forgive them. And in that way, you know, you're kind of being a tax collector. You're taking what you can and more, and there's no mercy. You're going to pay for this, buddy. You're going to suffer for this. I am not going to let you off the hook. And even as I said that, there's a few of you going, oh, yeah, there's that person in my life. I'm not going to let him off the hook. When you do that, I'm just going to ask you the question. When you do that, do you think that that is the fruit of repentance? So we all fall short of the glory of God. But the fruit of repentance is showing mercy and giving forgiveness, even when it's not deserved and it's not owed. And even though if you want to hold it over her head, you can hold it over her head as long as you want. You can hold her hostage. Except that Jesus says, no, forgive her and let her go. We're going to get into that a little bit more, but there's a third one. There's the soldiers. So the soldiers are the third party that come to John, and they say, well, what must we do? And John says, well, don't extort money from people. Similar to the tax collector, but just slightly different, because if you were a soldier in the army back in those days, one of the ways you would add to your monthly salary is you would extort people. You would take them aside, you'd say, I'm going to charge you with this, and if you don't do this, if you don't, you know, make it worth my while, how about if you grease my palm a little bit, you want to give me something, and then I won't take you to jail. And so in those days, extortion was a normal way for soldiers to make some extra money, and it was accepted, and everybody knew that it was happening. It was happening. Right? And so Jesus is saying, if you are truly repentant and if you're really following me, then you're not going to use your authority or your power or your badge or your strength or your intellectual prowess or whatever it is to belittle other people or to gain something from them at their loss. Because that's not what it looks like. That's not what true repentance looks like. Right? So these are three examples that John gives and that Luke records for us. And they're all, again, they're all to show us that true repentance bears fruit. And you can take the way I describe that in different ways, but I think we can all agree. You might not agree with my analogies or my examples today, but we can all agree that if we're going to follow Jesus, then necessarily fruit needs to come from our lives. And actually, if we looked at this carefully, we looked at those three examples, it's really the fruit of the Spirit that Galatians talks about, right? That when Galatians says, here's what it looks like to be a follower of Christ, you will be filled with love. Here's what's going to flow from the vine. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. I missed one, but it doesn't matter because patience and forgiveness, long-suffering, okay, right? So he's really saying that if you're going to go the way of Jesus Christ, if you're going to say, I've decided, I've changed my mind is going to be in the direction of Jesus from now on, then the fruit of the Spirit is going to flow. It will flow. It will flow from your life. Amen? And that's what we aim for. That's what our hope is. This is the Word of God. This is true. And there's days, if I'm honest, where I'm going, today I loved better. Today I had great joy. Today I was patient. That was nice for a surprise, right? And there's other days when I need to work on that more, and we keep working on it. But not because, again, I just emphasize this, not so that I'm looking better in God's eyes and God goes, oh, way to go. Now I'm going to save you, or now I'll forgive you, or now you get to get in heaven. Way to go, because you were extra patient today. It's never for that reason. It's because now I love Jesus. Now that I love Jesus, I want my life to just flow and let the fruit of goodness and love and mercy and patience and kindness and faithfulness and self-control, I want that to flow naturally from my life. Amen? Amen. And the thing of it is, if you look at the three examples that we read in Luke chapter 3, each one of these has to do with entitlement. And I'm going to not go too much further, but you see, it really is about entitlement, what we're talking about today. That the fruit that flows from a truly converted life is the fruit of disentitlement. And what I mean by disentitlement, because that's not a word we use very much, is that when you take disentitlement upon yourself, you release your claim on things. You release your claim on people. You no longer demand the title. You don't demand the title. What you really do is you go, okay, God, I surrender, and I don't think I'm entitled to anything anymore other than what you want to do and what you want to give me. In all three examples, just try to follow me here, but in all three examples, they were entitled to what we're talking about. The guy with two coats, he was entitled to two coats. They were his. They were his. The tax collectors, they were actually legally entitled. If they wanted to cheat people, they could have responded to Jesus and said, hey, wait a minute, everybody else is doing this, and they know we're doing it, and it's okay, so who are you to tell me I can't cheat people? They could have said, I'm entitled to this. And the same goes true for the soldiers. They could have said the same thing, hey, I'm a soldier. That's why I went into basic training, so that I could strong-arm people, and I could get some bribes, and I could extort some people, and everybody knows we're doing this. I'm entitled to do this. What Jesus is saying is, no, you're not. And remember the context here, that when John the Baptist was talking to the people of Israel, he said, you're not entitled. You think that you are children of Abraham. And because you say you're children of Abraham, you think you're entitled to all of this stuff. You're entitled to this relationship with God. You're entitled to forgiveness. You're entitled to an eternal life. And let me tell you something, John says. He can make the rocks cry out. He can make the rocks cry out. It's not the children of... Let me just read that so that you get this right from the Word of God. He says, produce fruit. Again, Luke 3 verse 8. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The people of Israel, the people who were, had not yet turned to Jesus, they thought they were inherently special. They thought no one else could add up to who they were. They thought that because they were of the blood of Judah or the blood of Israel, that they were special and that they never needed to do anything. They were in the covenant, and they didn't need to live any particular way. They didn't need to believe. They didn't need to follow Jesus Christ. And what John makes entirely clear here is he says, you know what? You live with this entitlement, and it's your downfall. The fruit of the Spirit is disentitlement. It's when I give up my rights, I give up my title, I give up my claim, and I say, God, I have no entitlement. All I have is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's all I got. All I have is the blood of Jesus. And I'm here because I want to love you, Jesus. And I want the fruit to flow from my life, not because I want to be a good boy. I want the fruit to flow from my life because I love you, Jesus, so much. I want to please you, not because I'm afraid of you, not because I think you carry a big stick and you're going to whack me if I don't do good things, but I want to please you, Jesus, because I love you. And I forego any entitlement that I might actually have or that I might think I have. I lay that down, and I say to you, Jesus, that I am yours. I surrender to you, and you have your way with me. You have your way. And that's a different thing than saying, God, I want you to do what I want you to do. It's no, God, I am yours. You're the potter. I'm the clay. I want to be yours. I want to do what you call me and what you ask me to do. I want that fruit, that good fruit, to flow from my life. I want it to be sweet and tasty. I want you to see what I do and how I live. And I want you to see, not that I'm a good boy, but that I am responding in love, and that there will be a natural fruit that grows from my life because of that. In Philippians chapter 2, we find that actually Jesus sets that great example for us. It says this, I'm just going to kind of end on this word. He says, your attitude... You want to know what your attitude should be like? You want to know what it looks like to lay your life down? You want to know what it looks like to have that fruit that comes from true repentance? Well, here, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he, Jesus, made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and being found in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself, and he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. He gave him the name that is above every name, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every knee should bow at the name of Jesus in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Jesus humbled himself. Paul, he says, you know, he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. You know what that means? That means that Jesus had a God card and he didn't play it. He had a God card. He could have said, you know what, I'm done with this. Bang, I'm putting my guard, God, I'm God. You know, I'm putting my God card down. I'm not doing this. I am not going to the cross. I am not going to suffer anymore. I am done with this. I'm going to play the God card. He, however, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Instead, he humbled himself, and he gave up his life on the cross. Amen? And this is, yeah, thank you, Jesus. That's good. Come on. That every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And this is God's word, that we should have that attitude of humility, and that the fruit that pours from my life and that pours from your life is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control flows naturally from my life and from yours. And so, I just challenge you with that question today. When you hear God's word today, what do you think? Do you feel, or do you come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit? I know I do, but maybe it's just me, you know. you look at this list and you go, God, I just want to love you better. I want to show you, just because I do love you. And I know there's some areas in my life that you're challenging me. So, as I prepared for this message, and as we had our retreat this week, it was kind of brought up that we just need to have a prayer time every single time we get together for those who need prayer. So today, I'm going to ask our leaders to come to the front, because they said this should happen, so they're going to be put on the spot. So right now, I'm just going to ask the leaders and anyone who's at the retreat, their wives were there too, because I want to offer you this opportunity. It's time to just, maybe there's something that you need to get off of your heart. Maybe there's something that you regret, or there's something that happened this week that you're ready for it to be healed. You're ready for this to change in your life. And all we can do is pray, but that's all we need to do, right? That's all we need to do. And I don't know, Chad, if someone can just play some music while we're doing this. Someone can. Anyone know how to hum? Anyone know how to hum? So we're going to pray in a moment. And this is an opportunity for prayer. What do you need prayer for? Maybe you came in today and you just feel lonely. Maybe you just need to get something off your chest. You need to confess it. Maybe you're feeling like you're full of fear because of something that's going on in your life, or you're full of grief. Well, we're a body. We are the people of God. We can avail ourselves in prayer by coming to Jesus. And there are some of us here today, when I say that God's calling you, you know he's calling you. He's just saying, come. Jeff, I don't know if you got some music there, but let's just play something in the background. We're not going to play anything loud here. We're going to end our service by praying together. I got to tell you something. These are really good people. These are people that lead you. These are, you know, they're good because God is in them and God is good. They don't want any of the attention they don't want any of the credit, I know. But these are leaders. These are people who lead us. These are people that God has placed in authority over us. And right now they're saying that they're willing to pray for you. They're willing to pray and ask for the fruit to really pour out from your life. So let's just bow our heads and let's pray to God. God, thank you. I just want you to say thank you, Lord. Say it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. You are such a great God. We love you, and we thank you for your word. We pray today that, or I pray, I'll just pray for me today. I pray that my life will reflect the fruit of repentance. And that I'll love you today with all my heart. I love you with all my soul, my mind, and my strength. God, we want to leave this place today, leaving behind all the garbage, all the regrets, all the fears, all the things that keep us debilitated, wounded, broken. We believe that your purpose for us is that we walk out of this place in victory. Amen? That we walk out of this place in freedom. And that the seeds that were planted in sorrow in our lives years ago or months ago, that those seeds that were planted in sorrow are going to be a harvest of great abundance. A harvest of great abundance. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you today that it's so simple. That you, Jesus, just say, come. If you'll just come, I will heal you. I will repair the brokenness. I will include you where you don't feel included. I'll take away what's wounded. I will remove it because I can and because I want to. Thank you, Lord. Give you glory. Amen. Come on up. It's time. Just come on up. There are people here willing to pray. Maybe you just need a new start today. Time for a new start. Maybe there's something you're just afraid of. Let's bring it to Jesus. Bring it to God. Or maybe, you know, we were talking earlier about Anita's daughter, and this is a good report, that her daughter, she's pregnant, living out in BC, and there was a lot of worries about that, but there's been a great miracle and an answer to those prayers, and she's doing well. You say, thank you, God. So maybe it's just about saying, thank you, God, today, and you want to share that with someone and say, would you just let me pray with you so I can say, thank you, Jesus, right? So come to Jesus. Why don't we come? We're just going to stand in line. Anyone who wants to come, don't be afraid. You need some prayer. Let's just stand right here. Thanks.
Draw me close to you.
Hallelujah.
Never let me.
Thank you, God. Just minister to each other, Lord, in the power of the blood of Jesus. Thank you, God. It's time for a new beginning. Amen. Hey, there's no rules here, guys, so you can come up or can I pray for you? It's Tori, right? You got a baby, right? You know, I said it once, I'm never going to say that again. I did that once and it was a really bad experience. Can I pray for you? Because I think that's huge. Maybe a couple of you guys want to stand around, Ted and Marnie? Yeah, why don't you do that? Because I want to pray for that.